This BBC podcast is supported by ads outside the UK. This podcast is sponsored by Wise, the app for doing things in other currencies. If you're sending or spending money abroad, you should use Wise. You'll have up to 40 currencies in the palm of your hand. Wise gives you the real exchange rate, which means you'll spend less on fees and more of your money gets where you need it to be. Download the Wise app today. Or visit wise.com. T's and C's apply.
You are actually radioactive, and everything alive is.
Unexpected Elements from the BBC World Service. Search for Unexpected Elements wherever you get your BBC podcasts.
Before we start, just a note that this episode contains references to suicide.
Justice for you!
It's March 2023, and there's a protest outside the Saudi Arabian Embassy in London. There's a small group of protesters, but they're loud and carrying big transgender pride flags that are blue, pink, and white. They want answers about the death of Eden Knight, a 23-year-old Saudi trans woman who took her own life a few days before. Before she died, Eden wrote and uploaded a final message to Twitter, or X, and that post quickly went viral.
Like, I don't know how to say this any clearer, but, like, this was cruelty.
It took me a while to even talk about this, because I have been going through all of the emotions myself, and it's not fun.
I was one of the 35 million people who saw Eden's post.
When you actually read the note, it's crazy what she's alleged, that she was deceived from start to finish on the US soil and then taken back to Saudi.
Eden was living in the US when she first transitioned, but had returned to Saudi Arabia. In her final message, she mentions the name of a lawyer who she claims played a key role. I want to track him down and find the other people named in her message to piece together her final months.
She always told me if she was going to kill herself, she wouldn't make it meaningless.
I'm Katie Ling, and this is Saudi in Trans, Eden's final message. It's a BBC Eye investigation for the documentary from the BBC World Service.
I'd like to welcome you here to Atlanta, where the local time is 4:11. Please stay seated.
First, I'm flying to Georgia, in the American South, to start my investigation by meeting the people who knew Eden best.
Hi, I'm Katie. Nice to meet you finally.
I'm Rafi.
Hi.
Hey, I'm Heather.
Hi, Heather. Should we go into Pride?
Yeah, absolutely. Welcome to Atlanta. Thank you.
My first stop is Atlanta Pride, where I meet Heather and Roxy, two of Eden's closest friends who I've been talking to online. Atlanta Pride is an annual event celebrating LGBT plus people. There's hundreds of people here. Everyone is dressed in colourful outfits, waving flags. The atmosphere is joyous.
And the trans march is about to kick off, and you're hearing one of Atlanta's legendary drum lines.
Yeah.
Eden was at Atlanta Pride just months before her death. It's where her friends last saw her, and where the mystery leading up to her death begins. We go somewhere quiet so I can learn more about Eden.
She had such a strong personality. She was very confident and upfront and at times aggressive.
Roxy spoke to Eden almost every day.
I met her on Twitter. She started off as one of my reply girls. She was just so witty, and she brought this like chaotic energy to like how intelligent she was. It's one of the things I really, really miss. One of my most recurring thoughts is like I'll have thoughts and then I'll think, oh, Eden would have loved that joke.
Like most of Eden's friends, Heather also first connected with her online.
Eden was tiny in stature and large in personality. Just beautiful, strong features, and just like an absolute little firecracker of a person.
They soon met in person at Eden's first Pride.
She was actually a little tiny bit quieter and shyer when I very first met her. Mm. But that's because I didn't expect it to take her a second to open up. But once she did, I feel like she really did match that, like, dark, loud personality that I knew from the internet. Both of them with complete unjustified confidence in their skills.
Heather is showing me a video of Eden playing pool. It's the only video we have of her. She's wearing a pink top and matching shorts, and you really get a sense of who she was.
Anyways, I win.
Anyways, I win.
Yep. She did not hide who she was, at least not anymore. And I was happy to see her truly getting to be herself, and was pleased to know that, you know, the person I'd met online was not a character, that was who she really was.
Eden grew up between two worlds, Saudi Arabia and the US. She was studying computer science in America on a scholarship funded by the Saudi government when she decided to transition. Soon after, she moved in with Hayden.
I really struggled with eye contact. And one of the things that I remember the most about Eden is every time she was talking, she'd be like, look at me, look at me, look me in the eyes. And I'm like, I can't do that.
Eden's US visa expired after she dropped out of university, leaving her unable to work and earn money. Hayden had helped out other trans people in difficult situations, so reached out to Eden too.
I could ascertain through her posts that she was having a hard time with her living situation. So I offered for her to come and stay with us. Coming out as trans, like, turned her life completely upside down. You can't be trans in Saudi Arabia. A lot of her life in Saudi was just kind of monitored. Her father was a very influential person. Her mother was very strict. They kept a very close eye on her to keep her from stepping out of line with who they wanted her to be. It's not like her parents didn't have money. They're very wealthy. If she wanted to keep living a comfortable, sure life, all she had to do was just pretend to be who they wanted her to be. By being trans, everything was called into question.
Being transgender in Saudi Arabia isn't tolerated by society or the government and can lead to arrest. And knowing her family would never accept her, Eden messaged a friend saying she'd made the tough decision to cut ties with them. Throughout this episode, you'll hear Eden's messages and posts voiced by an actor.
My whole world is flipped upside down. Tomorrow I'll have to block my parents' numbers.
Knowing she couldn't return to Saudi as a trans woman, in summer 2022, Eden decided to apply for asylum in the US and posted about it online.
Gonna have to set up a GoFundMe for an immigration lawyer to represent me in my asylum case.
And in the meantime, she continued with her transition, which Hayden helped with.
We put together like a whole wardrobe for her. We helped her dye her hair. Helping her do her eyebrows. I waxed her eyebrows. This isn't just a house that you're staying at. This is your home.
5 months of transitioning, and I've never been more comfortable with my body.
Eden regularly shared updates about her transition online, including changes to her clothing, hairstyle, and use of hormone replacement therapy, or HRT. Roxy saw her following grow.
She was becoming a internet micro-celebrity. She was getting, like, a lot of followers, a lot of likes. So one of the last, like, really big tweets that she made it was a really funny post.
In the post, you see the photo on Eden's Saudi ID card. She's wearing a red and white checked keffiyeh, the traditional headdress worn by men in Saudi Arabia. Next to it is a newer photo of her. She has longer bleached hair and winged eyeliner.
What the person at the counter sees on my ID versus me now, LMAO. The very, very nice picture of her versus the one on her ID.
The tweet went viral, and Eden believed this put her on the radar of the Saudi government.
Saudi government is now after me because of the post. I'm never going back.
Eden was desperate to claim asylum, and it was at this point that she told a friend she was contacted by someone who offered to help.
A famous guy called me to help with my asylum process.
In text to friends, Eden said he was called Michael Pocalico. I searched for him online and see that he's a writer.
When you're that age, you just don't want to see it.
I found this video advertising one of his books, he writes thrillers, but he also runs a private investigations company and has investments in Saudi Arabia. Hayden was there the first time Eden spoke to him.
It was on speakerphone. I remember him specifically saying, "Oh yeah, I know your father. He's a very powerful man. I've seen these photos you're posting on Twitter."
Eden said Michael was helpful at first. She was hopeful things would work out.
Over the course of the next, 4-5 months, she started to trust him more. Michael Pocalico was proposed to her as her ticket to asylum.
But then Eden said that Michael encouraged her to leave Georgia and move to Washington, D.C. to proceed with her asylum claim. She told Heather about it.
Eden messaged me saying she was going to D.C.
My lawyers told me I have to move to D.C. or none of this was going to work.
And I was really confused because we have a lot of immigration lawyers in Atlanta. And so I asked her, can't we do that here where you have lots of immigration lawyers?
At this point in my investigation, I wanted to contact Michael to ask why he told Eden to move to D.C. He didn't respond to my emails, so I give him a call.
Hi, Michael. My name's Katie Ling. I'm a journalist from the BBC. I was just hoping I could speak to you about Eden Knight. No, I've just seen that you've were mentioned in the... Oh, okay. He hung up on me.
Michael wouldn't speak to us, but Eden's final message gives me another clue. She mentions arriving in DC for the first time and meeting Michael and a lawyer named Badr.
At this point, the only person I was in contact with was Badr. I was allowed to experience DC. He got me an apartment. He took me out to eat. He pampered me.
Eden never mentions his full name, only Badr, and that he's a lawyer helping with her asylum case. I'm going to try and track down this man. You're listening to the documentary from the BBC World Service.
This podcast is sponsored by Wise, the app for doing things in other currencies. If you're sending or spending money abroad, you should use Wise. You'll have up to 40 currencies in the palm of your hand. Wise gives you the real exchange rate, which means you'll spend less on fees and more of your money gets where you need it to be. Download the Wise app today or visit wise.com. T's and C's apply.
I'm Sarah Trelevin, and for over a year, I've been working on one of the most complex stories I've ever covered.
There was somebody out there who was faking pregnancies.
I started, warning everybody. Every doula that I know.
It was fake.
No pregnancy.
And the deeper I dig, the more questions I unearth.
How long has she been doing this?
What does she have to gain from this?
From CBC and the BBC World Service, The Con, Caitlin's Baby.
It's a long story. Settle in.
Available now.
This is Saudi and Trans, Eden's final message. It wasn't easy trying to identify a lawyer from only one name that Eden gave. An online search for lawyers named Badr in DC led us to an article mentioning a Badr Alamer. There were no social media profiles under that name, so I translated my search into Arabic. This brings up a webpage for an old law firm based in Riyadh and gives us Badr Alamer's middle name, Nasser. Using this second name, we found a Facebook account under Badr Nasser with numerous photos of him, including one at Harvard Law School. I remember one of Eden's text messages. She mentioned that her lawyer was Harvard educated. We checked the directory for lawyers in Washington, D.C. and found only one Badr N. Alamer. But is this the Badr that Eden had been messaging friends about?
My lawyer knows I left my family to transition. He wants me to stop my hormone replacement therapy and get rid of all my feminine clothes. I don't feel like I'm in my body or I'm controlling it.
In her final message, Eden claimed her lawyer was pressuring her to detransition. She also told Hayden he was interfering in her life.
She lived in this room by herself. But I know that there were people that were going through her room and going through her stuff to sort out what's appropriate clothing, what isn't, which of course ended up being, oh, this is clothing for a woman, get rid of it.
After 2 weeks in Washington, D.C., Eden told her friend Heather she decided to leave.
Eden hit me up and said that she was running away. She was going to stay with Hayden again and try and figure out a new plan. D.C. wasn't working out. And so I said, you know, just let me know. Like, I got you. I can pick you up. And she bought a Megabus ticket. And then she tweeted about running away. And she said someone showed up.
Hey, I probably can't run away tonight. I don't know if the guy saw my tweets or not, but he showed up at my apartment.
So she didn't come. Whoever it was that showed up at her door absolutely terrified her.
None of her friends knew exactly where the apartment was, but Hayden might have a lead.
When she first got there to the apartment they had her in, she wanted to FaceTime. And before we did all that, she had sent me a picture of her view from the apartment where she was staying.
The picture was taken through a large window. There's not much of a view, but you can see two buildings and a large car park. It takes a while, but eventually I managed to use satellite imagery to geolocate the buildings in the picture to the outskirts of Washington, D.C. I need to go where these buildings are to see them in real life.
I'm 100% sure that I'm standing in the car park that's in this picture. It's got the same tree line, the same car parking diagonal spots, and these apartments have the same window structure as in the picture as well.
Now that I've identified the building Eden was staying in, I want to find someone who knew her while she was living here. So I go inside the apartment block. 15, start knocking on doors. One person agreed to talk to me about Eden, but didn't want to be identified.
I'm a BBC journalist.
So their words are voiced by an actor.
She had women's clothing, styled hair, jewelry, and makeup. She'd have to hide it all when Badr came. Badr made her get a haircut and grow out her beard. It seemed like it was Badr's plan all along to have her go back to Saudi.
Okay, so
this is the first person I've spoken to who saw Eden and Badr Alamer together and supports what she said about her lawyer in her final message.
At a certain point, I realized I was entirely dependent on Badr for food and shelter, and that if I ran away, he could easily find my location. And since I was illegal, I would have just been deported to Saudi.
Eden was keeping in touch with her friend Roxy while she was in D.C.
She would tell me that she was working with a lawyer in her asylum, so I assumed that she was in good hands, which was obviously like a mistake in retrospect. One of the things I particularly remember is she said that her lawyer told her that she couldn't apply for asylum in the U.S., which I knew was wrong, but I didn't question her on it because I assumed the lawyer knew more than me.
But Eden became increasingly distressed.
My lawyer is detransitioning me. He told me to dye my hair black, which I did, then tried to get the barber to cut my hair short. I had to dye it a color I didn't want, cut it like I didn't want it to be cut, change parts of my wardrobe.
You can see changes from the photos Eden posted while staying in the apartment. She arrives with vibrant purple hair. There are photos of her in floral dresses, and around Halloween, she wore bold, gothic jewellery. Over the next 6 weeks, you see her hair turn black. It's cut much shorter. She also wears neutral, non-feminine clothes. Eden spoke to Hayden about these changes.
She said they wanted her to look normal. That was the way that she put it. They made her dress a certain way. They made her act a certain way. They made her look a certain way. She had to do certain things, and the real her was just lost and gone in that process.
I want to know more about Badr and how he ended up getting involved with Eden in the first place. I'm looking for anything online that might connect me with someone who knows him.
So I've just come across some of Badr's Google reviews, and he has reviewed two places in Northern Virginia.
One of them is a hair salon and he gave it 5 stars. So I think if I book an appointment there, maybe some of the staff can give me some information on him.
You can wash it every day. If it looks, how does it look the best? When it's freshly washed?
My appointment is booked with Irving, the salon manager, who has worked here for over 10 years. I show him the picture I have of Bada.
That's him?
Yeah, that's him.
Okay.
He's not as heavily bearded now.
No?
No. More like that.
More like that.
But his hair is shorter.
Irving tells me that he previously sold this building to Bada and is now renting it from him.
Yeah, he owns the building. And he paid cash.
Okay. Is that unusual or normal?
Of course it's unusual.
I was thinking one point.
But he's got some pretty heavy backing from Saudi Arabia, I guess. Mm. So,
what does he do for work?
He's an attorney.
So how often does Bada kind of come around here?
Not very often.
Yeah. When was the last time he was here?
About a week and a half, 2 weeks ago.
Missed him.
Yes, you just missed him.
Irving also told me that Bada is a lawyer with an office in the area. Another source shared his most recent work address with me. I'm going to try and find Bada at this location. We're waiting outside the office to see if we can spot Bada.
Okay, what's the time? Okay, it's 4:30.
After waiting for hours, someone comes out who looks like the man in the picture and gets into a car.
Go, 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 go.
I follow the car for a while and notice it has an unusual number plate. It's light blue with a red stripe along the top. But this is no ordinary plate. It's a diplomatic number plate. We can see the letters LN, which are the country code for Saudi Arabia, and also the letter S, which stands for Foreign Embassy Staff. This suggests that the person driving the car works for the Saudi Embassy. So we call the embassy to ask for Bada.
Thank you for calling the Royal Embassy of Saudi Arabia in Washington, D.C.
Someone answers, and we ask to be put through to Bada. But then...
Voicemail system is unavailable. Try again later.
Bada seems to be working as a private lawyer in the US and also at the Saudi embassy. I couldn't get through to him at the embassy, but I keep digging online to find more about his work. I found a post from 2018, a parent asking Bada for help. Their son was a Saudi student and was in prison, and they were seeking Bada's assistance. Searching US court records, I find that the student had fled the country and was a fugitive from justice. I went through other records of Saudi students listed as fugitives and reached out to the American lawyers who handled these cases. One agreed to speak with me, but didn't want to be identified. He claims Bada assisted Saudi students in evading criminal proceedings in the United States. His words are voiced by an actor.
Bada would come to the meetings with an Arabic form headed by the Saudi embassy for students to sign. I remember in some cases, suspects would be there in the first hearing, and when it came to the second hearing, they would disappear.
I found a case online of two Saudi students questioned over the killing of an American man in 2021.
Just this weekend, a stabbing killed a man in Uptown.
Days after the stabbing, they flew back to Saudi Arabia. A source who worked with Bada told us he helped arrange their travel. They were later charged with murder. We contacted the Saudi embassy, asking if they knew about Bada Alamer's involvement in this case, and Eden's claims that he encouraged her to detransition. They didn't respond.
I can't take the asylum process. I have to go back to Saudi.
Towards the end of 2022, Eden told her friends that she was going to leave the United States and return to Saudi Arabia. Her messages suggest Bada told her she could not apply for asylum in the US. But I've been told by a US immigration expert that if Eden had applied for asylum, there's a 99% chance she would have been successful.
I don't really know if it's safe for me to go back, but I'm going with a lawyer and wishing for the best. Tomorrow I'm leaving. After then, the Pandora box opens, and whatever happens, happens.
In December 2022, Eden flew back to Saudi Arabia on a flight she says was booked by Badr. Roxy told me about the treatment Eden received when she arrived.
She said that her parents went into her room and took her passport, took all the money that she was saving up, took the HRT that she had hidden. She was just sort of telling me how there was nothing for her to do other than just wait.
Unable to take hormone therapy, or HRT, and having to live as a man in Saudi Arabia, she stopped posting as much online. And in February 2023, she shared a video with a friend. We can't see who's speaking, and we've distorted the voice. You hear a relative shouting at Eden, calling her a donkey and berating her for dressing as a woman. The relative says there are only male and female. Nothing else. We contacted Eden's family to ask if they wanted to take part in this story, but they did not respond. Michael Bacalico and Badr Alamer didn't respond to our questions.
I have evidence that they hired a bunch of people to take me back to Saudi.
2 months after her return, Eden messaged a friend saying she believed her parents were involved in getting her back to Saudi Arabia.
The lawyer that was helping me with asylum was working with my parents behind my back.
Eden never shared the evidence she claimed to have. She spoke with friends about her plans to escape Saudi Arabia, but with no passport, her options were limited.
She said that it was just sort of a waiting game until she could find an opportunity to save enough money and get her passport back to figure something out, and that she would just try to hang in there in the meantime.
Parents found my HRT again. It's over. I'm gonna write my note and post it.
Hours later, Eden posted what would become known as her final message. Hayden and Roxy still remember that day clearly.
Around 10 p.m. that night, my ex-wife runs into the room, wakes me up and says, "Hayden, I have really bad news. Eden killed herself."
All these wonderful things about her, all these horrible things about her, she's a person. There's a lot more there than just a trans person. She was my sister. She was my son's aunt. And she was my friend.
I want to believe that as her final message, she wanted to give us the information that she had so that someone else could do something with it and bring justice.
If you or someone you know is struggling, help is available. In the UK, you can contact Samaritans at samaritans.org. For international helplines, visit befrienders.org. Thanks for listening to this episode of The Documentary. I'm Katie Ling. It was produced by me and Rob Wilson. Simon Cox is the editor, and it was mixed by Neil Churchill.
This podcast is sponsored by Wise, the app for doing things in other currencies. If you're sending or spending money abroad, you should use Wise. You'll have up to 40 currencies in the palm of your hand. Wise gives you the real exchange rate, which means you'll spend less on fees and more of your money gets where you need it to be. Download the Wise app today or visit wise.com. T's and C's apply.